I'd invite you to turn with me then to Jude. It's right before Revelation. And we're looking at Jude as we come to its conclusion, verses. It's only one chapter, so it's 17 to 23. And let's hear the word first, and then we'll reflect upon it together. Jude writes, but dear friends, and he writes that but because right before this, he's really given a strong warning against the immorality of some of the false teachers who, as he said earlier, have crept in among, sort of like the snake in the grass, right? And he says, but, dear friends, remember what the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ foretold. They said to you, in the last times there will be scoffers who will follow their own ungodly desires. These are the men who divide you, who follow mere natural instincts and do not have the Spirit. But you, dear friends, build yourselves up in your most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. Be merciful to those who doubt. Snatch others from the fire and save them. To others, show mercy mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by corrupted flesh. So ends here then the reading of God's holy word. Thanks be to God. Glad to... No, you're not, Denny. Surprise me. So I think the main idea, the big idea, if you will, here in these verses, these almost closing words, what he's got left in Jude is the doxology, which we'll begin Advent with next week, is keep in love with God and have mercy. Don't you think? Those are the dominant ideas. I mean, how many times, for instance, is mercy mentioned in these few words? So mercy certainly is among the most important things that he has to say here. And the way we are able to show mercy is by keeping in love with God. It's not on our own power that we are able to be merciful. Now, often in our own power, what will we do? But take the knife that was thrust into us and thrust it back. That's what the flesh would have. At least it's in my desire. But in keeping in love with God, we're brought to another plane, Jude is saying. So, after giving the strong warning about the doctrinal and moral swamps into which some had fallen, Jude then is here turning and beginning his closing to look at how true believers should both believe and behave. Now, remember, Jude not only said that some had fallen into sexual immorality of various kinds, but they also were, and I think this is important because we often want to just point the finger at one kind of sexual immorality and say, that's it. But there's also something that I think is rather a catch-all for a lot of us, would include myself at least, insofar as he says about the same, grumblers, fault finders. I can't tell you how many times I've grumbled about the uppity ups in the church, you know, the ones who I think at least are leading the church astray. Even my bishop, I got to say, is one of those who is on a completely opposite side of where I think Scripture's teaches. But as I listened to him talk about the situation with the scouts, I realized he loves the church. He's trying to do what's right for the church. None of us are without sin. Isn't that the truth? None of us escape some form of the fall in our lives. And it's important to remember that, I think, as we deal with one another. That's part of what Jude is actually then driving at in a moment when we consider mercy. But he includes these grumblers, fault finders, boasters about themselves, he says, those who flatter others for their own advantage. He includes all of us within the same net. And it's good to remember that before we go off just harping on one particular fault or sin, I would say. But moving on, though, Jude then refers to this quote from the apostles. Now, this quote is not found anywhere in the scriptures. It's not in the canon of our Bible. But just to draw attention, either Jude is referring to a letter that may be lost to us, in which these words were recorded from the apostles, one of the apostles at least, or he could also be, as often happens in the scriptures themselves, paraphrasing. Many times the Greek Old Testament, in fact, is just paraphrased from one of the, Paul does this a lot, from his memory. So immersed was he in the scriptures. And I'll bet you a lot of you could do the same, having read the scriptures over and over again. You know, something happens in your experience and scripture pops in to mind, but you don't know exactly chapter or verse, but you know enough of what the scripture said to get the point. So here Jude is saying, look, in the last times, there will be, and we should expect it so, scoffers who will follow their own ungodly desires. This is to be expected in the church. Don't be surprised by it when it happens. Jesus himself was among those who was warning us of this. In Matthew chapter 7, he says, beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravening wolves. Sheep's clothing. Somebody, I forget who it was, sent me a, it might have been you, Don, sent me a YouTube link to Shepherd Calling Sheep. I just invite you to check, just Google, or YouTube, whatever you should say, shepherd calling his sheep. And the interesting thing is this, other people are trying to call the sheep. Nothing happens. But that shepherd gets out, and I saw one where it was completely foggy. You couldn't see even the ground out at a distance. And he gets out there, and in language, calls to his sheep, and it's not even, it's more like a gibberish. La, 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 la. And all of a sudden, what do you think happens? But the sheep start running in to the shepherd. and running and running and running and running. That's us. When we hear the shepherd's voice, the great shepherd of the sheep calling to us, we've got to keep our ears and eyes fixed on the shepherd, or else we'll get lost in the swamps with these false shepherds, falsters who would lead us astray. William Barclay, the great commentator, British commentator, interestingly makes an observation about such false prophets and teachers as these. He says, quote, "They believe that the body, being matter, was evil." Let me back up just a moment. The Greeks had an idea that the body, you know, touch yourselves a moment. That's called in Greek the soma. And our spirit, our soul, is called the pneuma. And also referred to as the psyche. The psyche. So psychology comes from that latter word. And they divided the human being into these two parts, the soma and the psyche. And so it's in this context then that Barclay is making his remark. He says, they believe that the body, the soma, being matter, was evil. That's it. They had, in other words, as we talked about with John, a dualistic notion of the human being, in which what was our body? Well, it didn't matter because it's not going anywhere except into the... What we did with our soul, on the other hand, was an entirely different matter. It's eternal. The Greeks believed in reincarnation, that it would just keep being born and born again until if you reached a point in which you were so good, at some point you would go off into other religions would call nirvana. You would just ascend into the presence of God Himself. Is that biblical? No. No, that's not at all. The Hebrew, the revealed notion of the human being is that we are a union, isn't it? We are both body and soul together. That's why we say in the Apostles' Creed, I believe in the resurrection of the dead, the bodily resurrection of the dead. Not just the soul, not just the body, but the union together. So it is then that Barclay says that these false teachers, false prophets, believe that the body, being matter, was evil, and that therefore it made no difference what we did with it. If they satisfied their desires to the full, Barclay says. Further, they argued that since grace could forgive any sin, sin did not matter. These heretics then added a third. They believed that they were the progressive thinkers, and they regarded those who observed old moral standards and as old-fashioned and out of date. Sound familiar? That point of view is by no means dead. There are still those who believe that the once accepted standards revealed of morality and fidelity, especially in matters of sex, but in other matters as well, how we simply treat each other with fidelity. with integrity are quite out of date. A woeful judgment awaits them. Jude says, they divide us and entice us to follow our baser instincts, and they do not have the Spirit. And he says, furthermore, that even in our attempt to show these mercy here at the end, in verse 23, we do so mixed with fear. Hating, he says, that is a strong word, isn't it? Hating even the clothing that's stained by corrupted flesh. Wow. Did you ever try and stay clean walking through a pigsty? Can't do it, can you? There was a time where I thought, you know what? I'll witness in the bars. I'll just go to bar a play pool. And I was a pretty good pool player, too. I always, in fact, well, I'm not going to tell you that. But you can't do that and stay as you wish. The world will always pull you down into it, won't it? And that's what Jude, I think, is warning us about here. These false teachers, they had so separated themselves thinking about body and flesh and the spirit. They actually, Jude is using a word that they used about themselves. The word that they use, remember, soma is the body. Psuche is the spirit, soul. They thought of themselves as the psuchoi, that they were the soulish people. They were so far above the common Christian. And not only that, but that we're stuck back. The rest of us stuck back in the flesh. Think about that. They totally flipped over what the teaching of Scripture is. But I want you to notice too, Jude doesn't just end with condemnation. Now, he invites us, rather, he calls us, dear friends, beloved, to keep ourselves, to build up ourselves in the most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. The faith that is, how does the Scripture say, once given and once received. And to pray in that spirit. The spirit here, Jude, you know, the brother of Jesus, having heard Jesus say, for instance, in the Sermon on the Mount, be merciful, just as your Father in heaven is merciful. For he is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Well, who do you think he's talking about him being kind to? Isn't he kind to you and to me? He's kind to the ungrateful and wicked. And if we are merciful as he is, then Jesus goes on to say, you will be called the sons and daughters of the Most High God. That's who you are when you show mercy. We are to keep ourselves in love with God as we wait mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring eternal life and to show we are mercy ourselves to those who doubt, some to snatch away as if from a fire and save them. You know, John Wesley always thought of himself as being among those snatched from a fire. He said, "I was like a brand snatched from the fire," when he was like a toddler, I think it was, hardly able to walk. He was in his crib at home. He was raised in a parsonage, and his father being a pastor, and the parsonage caught on fire, and it's his mother went after him and brought him out while the house was engulfed in flames. And so he thought of himself, just thinking of this very verse, as one snatched from the fire. He thought himself that way. And we must show mercy to those to snatch others from the fire as well. And lastly, he says, show mercy to others mixed with fear. The fear that would cause us to stumble with them as well, to backslide, to fall into the fires of temptation. To show mercy, though, mixed with fear. Hating, he uses that strong word, even the clothing that's stained by corrupt flesh. This is a fear that's mixed with John Bunyan wrote in his Pilgrim's Progress, of falling into the slough of despond ourselves. But mercy thereafter should be our dominant characteristic, shouldn't it? Keep in love with God and show mercy. Father, we pray that our characteristic, the characteristic of each one individually, our church corporately, might be that we follow, we run after not our own desires, but yours. We keep in love with God. Follow the most holy faith. Pray in your Holy Spirit and show mercy.